that have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 57 and stand with me if you would now. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." Now, I'd like us to take just a minute right now to bow our heads. And Brother Jason, I'd like to ask you to pray before we start. Seriously, if you would just ask the blessing over this, ask the Lord to just give us the word of knowledge tonight. You can all be seated. I keep forgetting sometimes to pick up the microphone. That's all right. We're going to talk to you for a little bit tonight about bridging the gap. Bridging the gap between what we know and what we do. Amen. Bridging the gap between what we know and what we do. You see, revival. Revival. We need it. And some of us want it. And some of us say we want it. But we don't all mean it. Revival. Revival takes zeal. It takes commitment. And it has to stand the test. You know, there's a lot of things to take tests. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things you got to test before you can put it out there. Before you can use it. For it, look at concrete. Now, if you want to build a driveway, it's going to take just a little bit more Portland in it than it does for a sidewalk. They'll test it. They'll make sure it's strong enough. A sidewalk doesn't take a lot. But now the slab for a house, it takes even more. Well, they'll test that. It's going to have to take 1,000 pounds per square inch of pressure before you can build a house on your slab. They'll test it. They'll make sure it's good. And if they're going to build a road, that's going to take 6,000 pounds per square inch. And your bridges will take even a little bit more. But I'm telling you, it's got to stand the test. You know, when I first got the Holy Ghost, I wanted to evangelize the world. Oh, yeah. Do y'all remember how it felt when you got the Holy Ghost? Well, weren't you excited? Yeah, me and Brother Griffin talked the other night about how when he got the Holy Ghost, he just hugged everybody. It didn't matter who they were. Man, I tell you, some people kind of stepped a little bit, looked at you funny. But you didn't care. You didn't notice that look. You grabbed and you hugged. You got excited. I didn't know much, but I wanted to evangelize the world. I'll tell you what. I had zeal. I just had no knowledge. But that was all right. I was a nobody. And nobody that wanted to tell everybody about somebody that could save anybody. I was excited. I wanted to tell the whole world about my experience. I wanted to tell them what they could have. I got excited. I didn't have much knowledge, but I'll tell you what, I sure was after it. But you know, it didn't take long to realize that revival, it's more than a program. It's more than going around talking to people and trying to shake people into receiving something that they didn't want to begin with. It's a way of life. Revival is a way of life. It's a total way of life. It's something new. It's something that just takes a lifetime. It's our everyday living. It's our whole life. And first, we got to believe that Jesus is coming back. Everybody that's in here will tell you they believe Jesus is coming back. I believe Jesus is coming back. Do you believe it? Oh, yeah, he believes Jesus is coming back. But here's the question. How urgent is it? How urgent is it? Do you believe he's coming back soon? Do you believe he's going to come back and there's going to be a judgment? Do you believe that there's going to be a judgment? Oh, man. We got to believe that Jesus is going to come back. And we got to believe that there's going to be a judgment. And we got to believe it with a sense of urgency. I knew a guy one time, his name was Clarence Landry. Every time I saw Clarence was talking to somebody about the Lord. It didn't matter where he was. I knew him in the Army. Now Clarence, he was all right. Clarence, he had talked to somebody in the mess hall. And I'd see him praying with somebody over in the supply room. You'd find him praying with somebody out there on the trail. The trail, now, I got to explain to you what the trail is. The trail was what we had to do every Monday morning. We had 30 miles of cross-country skiing we had to do every Monday morning in the winter months. And that was 9 months out of the year. But we were in Fairbanks. Clarence would be, he'd stop and he'd pray for people on the trail. He'd see somebody downtown and he'd be talking to them, and before you know it, he's praying with them. Clarence lived revival. And I'll tell you what, I used to just admire that man. I couldn't talk to people the way he did. He could walk up to a total stranger and begin talking. Hey, how's things between you and the Lord? And it wouldn't be but minutes. They'd be praying together. And before you know it, he'd be bringing them to church. And he'd bring all kinds of people to church. I mean, they just trailed him everywhere he went. People just followed him. They went to church with him all the time. Clarence had a sense of urgency. He had a Holy Ghost experience that he enjoyed and he wanted to share it. That's what it was. Do you enjoy your Holy Ghost experience? Is it something you enjoy? Because if it is, you want to share it with people. I like to share it. Now, sometimes I'm a little bashful. Don't look at me like a brother. I am. I get bashful. It's true. I'm not always outgoing. Sometimes I get a little bashful when I'm out somewhere and I don't really want to tell people everything, but when I get to thinking on the Holy Ghost and I start feeling the joy and I start getting happy, boy, you know what they're asking me? Oh yeah, people, man, you so happy today, why are you so happy? And I get to tell them why I'm so happy. I got nothing to be sad about. I got something to be happy about. Isn't that right? Don't we all? We have something to be happy about. We can't always be like Brother Clarence, but I'll tell you what, it said, Bible in Acts 1 and 8 said, we will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon us to be witnesses unto him. Did you? All over the place. Well, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to have power. We've got to first understand, after we become power to power, we receive the power to become witnesses. We've got to understand We are responsible for getting the message to the lost. You know that? We've got to tell them about it. Every one of us here, every one of us, we've got to tell them. We've heard this before. We've all heard it. Now, I know that people saying, well, I'm not the one that can tell people. I'm not the one that can go talk to folks. I don't go knocking door to door. I don't knock doors. Y'all, have any of y'all ever done that? Oh, yeah. I used to when I was a young man. It was fun then to me. I don't know. I just don't do it anymore. We used to go on what we called soul patrol. But we don't do it anymore. I mean, I'm talking about we went downtown. You got to understand what downtown was at the time. Downtown was 2 Street. It was called 2nd Avenue. We called it 2 Street. And it had nothing but bars lined up for 12 blocks. Yeah, we went on soul patrol down on 2 Street. Woo, sometimes it got a little shaky out there. But you know what? We would always find somebody that would want you to pray for. I remember one time we were out here praying with one guy, and this other fella comes walking out of a liquor store, which was right beside the bar, with a case of beer on his shoulder. He's holding it like this. And man, it's good to see other Christians out here doing this. I looked at him and said, what'd you say? I'm just glad that you're more Christian. I thought I was the only Christian left. I don't know what he was planning on doing with that case of beer that he was carrying on his shoulder. But that was some Christian attitude, wasn't it? Ooh, Lordy. Yeah, there's other Christians out there doing it too. My goodness, I'll tell you what. If we're going to have revival, we're going to be out there on soul patrol somehow, some way, in our own little way. Now, we may not be walking up and down a place like 2 Street. That place is hard to find anymore. It's a little more subtle with the bar. It's not so open. You don't have the gunshots ringing out all night long and people coming out on the sidewalk and bloodying it up. So you can't just walk around praying for people and calling ambulances all night. But well, we did that a lot. See, the bars up there, they closed every morning at 4 o'clock. Give them time to spread new sawdust around, scrub up the floors, and open back up at 8 o'clock. 4 hours. They were open 20 hours a day, and they were always busy. They never lacked for a customer. Now, we got the message. Some people wanted to hear, some people didn't. But you know, there's places we can go that we're going to start revival. We're going to have revival, and we may not be aware of it. How many people were saved? How many people turned to God in Nineveh? Do you remember? 250,000? Quarter of a million people. The largest revival known to man at any one time. 250,000 people. What a revival in Nineveh. And it was due to one man's reluctant obedience to God. Now, he was obedient, but he was reluctantly so. There's sometimes that we're a little bit reluctant ourselves. Lord, I'll do anything that you want me to do, just don't make me move to Athens, Texas. I prayed the prayer now. I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Then I started thinking on it a little harder. Except, don't make me move down to Athens, please. I've got a job up here. I got my house up here. I ain't got neither a job nor a house no more. What do you think about that? I moved to Athens, though. I finally moved down where the Lord told me to go. I was a little bit reluctant. Just a little bit reluctant. All right, now, sometimes we get a little bit reluctant. But we're still required to do our part. we're still required to do our part in reviving the lost. Everybody here is required to do their part. Do you know, if you're in a public place, it's against the law for you to not administer CPR to someone who needs it if you know the technique. Do you know you can be arrested for not administering it, and you could actually be charged if they die with manslaughter? If you hold a card that says, I know CPR, and you don't administer CPR when it's needed, you can be arrested. But if you administer CPR when it's needed and you crack a rib, you can be sued. Oh, yeah. You can't win. You can't win. Yeah. But if you know how to do so, you have to administer CPR. But sometimes we can only do a portion of the CPR. I saw one time a man sitting at his desk cough, fall over. Well, it was in a very restricted area. You couldn't get to him very well. So someone climbed over the wall there of the desk, and someone else came up the aisle, and someone else came over the other wall, and then you got one of them that's ministering heart massages. You got another one that's counting. You got another one that's breathing for him. So everybody did their part. Unfortunately, it didn't revive him, but it could have. It could have. Everybody did their part to revive that man. It didn't work out real good. He died anyhow. That wasn't good. It's not that funny. I mean, the man's dead. It's really not that funny. But sometimes we can only do a portion of the CPR. All right? Sometimes we can't do it all. But we still take part in the reviving of the person, except in that case. We still take part in the revival. We take part in revival. But at any rate, listen here now, we must bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. You still got to bridge the gap between what you know and what you do. Where did revival begin? At home? How does it begin? In prayer. And them folks in Nineveh, when they found out, when they heard the word, them folks started praying. They started fasting. And they put on sackcloth. You know, they even made the animals fast. And I know them cows got hungry. Them sheep, they wanted something to eat. They were not going to get anything to eat, as the Lord answered. But that whole city went on a fast and went into prayer. God answered. And he turned away his wrath. That's what a revival. Yeah. We know that revival begins with prayer. What do we do about it? Bridge the gap. What you know and what you do. How many people spend enough time in prayer for revival? Brother, I come to church. I go in there and I pray for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes 20. I go to the prayer room and I pray. I pray a little bit at home, here and there. Actually, I pray every day. I won't tell you what I do, but we have, many of us have a set time for prayer. Tuesday nights, on a good night, you will find 9 people here praying. We have prayer service every Tuesday night. Somebody said, Bro Fry, you're trying to make me feel bad about not coming and praying on Tuesday night. Would it do any good? Well, if it won't do any good, I'm not going to try to make you feel bad. But if you start coming, I want to make you feel bad. because we need your help. We need all the saints that we can get. We need your help. We need a wall of prayer around this place. You want to see revival? Get some prayer done. We need your help. Man, I'll tell you what. I can tell you for a fact, 24 years ago, you could drive down this street and feel the power of God. Right out here on the street. I didn't care who you are. You could feel the power of God. Right out here on this street, because there was some prayer going on here. People prayed for revival back then. I know I'm a witness to it. I'm a witness to it. It put my head to the steering wheel as I drove by with tears just streaming down my face. Just the power of God exuding from this place. Prayer makes a difference. We know that revival begins with prayer. And we need help from the saints. Folks, if you want to come and you say, well, you know, I can't really afford to come, I'll tell you what, you call me, I'll either come pick you up. I promise you, I'll come pick you up, or I'll send Sister Fry. That'd be better. But if you don't have the money to buy the gas, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will, in faith, give you the money to get home if you can get here. I will, in faith, make sure that you got gas money to get home. If you'll get here to pray Tuesday night, you come to me and say, Brother Fry, I need gas money. I will get you the gas money. That's a guarantee. I'd like to see some of you come. Tuesday night's important. Tuesday night prayer is important. Well, I want revival. I want to bridge the gap between what I know and what I do. If we don't bridge that gap between what we know, then our knowledge is useless. We got to do something about it. We got to do something. We got to be praying Tuesday night. We got to be praying in the prayer room. Prayer is important. Very important. It's an integral part of revival. Acts 16 tells us of a revival in Philippi that was a direct result of constant prayer. It said, when Paul and them got to the city of Philippi, they went to where prayer was wont to be made. And that doesn't mean prayer, they were wanting to make some prayer. I mean, prayer, there was a habit of prayer going on there. At this one spot, they had a habit of prayer. And Paul went there and talked to them. It was all women. There wasn't no men. That wasn't a macho thing to do. It's not macho to show up at prayer. Well, that's fun. I'll tell you what. There wasn't any there. There was all women there. Paul sat down and began to talk with them. And they had prayer on a regular basis. It was a habit of praying. That revival that started in Philippi was a result of a habit of prayer. We can all make a habit of prayer. It doesn't take much. We can all make a habit of prayer. Tell you, if you can't pray 15 minutes, pray 10. If you can't pray 10, pray 5. And if you can't pray 5, well, open your eyes, see how long you prayed, and start praying again. Make 5 minutes somehow. Before long, you do that on a regular basis, you'll be praying 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. And I don't know if I'll ever keep up with Sister Vlad. She prays constantly, doesn't she? Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of folks here. We got some prayer warriors in this church. It's a good thing. Acts 18 tells of Apollo. Apollo, who knew a little, it says he knew a little. Amen. But he was fervent. He was fervent about what he did know. I mean, he put what he knew into practice. He didn't know a lot. He knew a little. And Aquila and Priscilla heard him one day. They were listening to him. They went and listened to him. They said, man, this guy, you know, he's got some zeal. So what they did, they took him and they expounded the word of God more perfectly. They explained it to him. They told him what it's really all about. And before you know it, they got him baptized in Jesus' name. Before you know it, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, he was an evangelist, didn't even know what it was, who Jesus was, really was. And he was full of zeal. somebody expounded to him the way of God more perfectly, and he began to mightily, it said mightily, convince others publicly. He went right to convince people. Man, that was a reason. Forget what it's all about. We want to let them know. It's found. Way of God more perfectly. It seemed like some of us might just need to learn a little more. This poor fella, he didn't know a lot, but when he learned it, he took it and ran with it. When he heard truth, he took it and ran. How many of us run with the truth? How many of us take the truth out with us? You know, I didn't want to talk about this part. I didn't want to talk about that part. I talked to the pastor not long ago. Brother, I'm on conviction about this one place I go quite often and preach. And I have not preached Jesus' name baptism there. I have never preached the Holy Ghost there. But I began to be under conviction there. And I didn't want to talk to him about it. But you know, I felt the need. You know, it's going to happen now. Next time I go over there, the Lord moved on, but we're going to preach that. We're going to expound to them the Word of God more perfectly. They may send us away, or they may have revival. Stop and think about it. You know how often people just say, I hear you, but I don't understand you. But your actions speak louder than your words. Sometimes folks just need to see a sermon. You ever stop and think about that? Sometimes folks just need to see a sermon. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to see what you got to say. Sometimes they'd rather see one than to hear one. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. Bridge the gap. We know better than do some of the things we do, don't we? Ooh, I tell you what was hard today. I went down to ProCut. I'd sooner take a whooping than go get a bad haircut. But just about anywhere you go, you're going to get a bad haircut. They don't know. People don't know how to cut hair. You're going to tell them how you want it? And they get all that and say, how's that? I said, I don't know. It's nothing like I want it. I asked the lady one day, I said, what is it about the way I part my hair that makes everybody want to change it? I have yet to come out of a barber's chair and my part hadn't been changed. I'm 57 years old. I think maybe one time somebody didn't change the part on my hair. What is it about that? I can get a bad haircut anywhere. But no, I chose to get one at ProCuts today. I chose to get my bad haircut today at ProCuts. And you know, it was hard. It was hard not to say something. I was moaning and groaning within myself. And she was saying, well, how's that look? Well, I don't know. I don't have my glasses on. I can't see it. They got a mirror 5 feet from you, and I can't see more than a foot. And they want to know how my hair looks to me. I don't have a clue. Did you cut it the way I asked you to? I asked her, did you cut it the way I asked you? Yeah, I sure did. I said, okay, then. It must look all right. So I got my glasses and got up out of the chair, and I put them on. Whoa! I said, what happened? She said, what? What happened? I came in here with a part. I had a part in my hair. What happened? It started over here. I had a part over here when I left. I'm serious. Right there. I said, lady, I appreciate your haircut. And I even gave her a $2 tip. Got out of there as quick as I could because I knew the flesh wanted to say something. Oh, yeah, I wanted to get upset about it. But I needed to let them see a sermon. You know what I'm saying? I'll go back there for another bad haircut before too long, I promise. You got to bridge the gap between what you know and what you do. 2 Corinthians 3:2 said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. People going to see how you live and how you act. people in this town are going to remember you. Well, you know, the nice thing about when I lived in Anderson, came to church here, I didn't have to know anybody here. Well, yeah. Man. So as long as I didn't have to know them, I was nice to them. Up in this, I could be upset with somebody. But I didn't go to church there. But you know, I had to learn to bridge the gap. And the bridging that gap said, I'm going to be an official, known and read of all men. Everybody going to know me. They're going to read me, read my life. And we will look right, talk right, and spit white. We expect to be taken seriously in our community. Think about it. We're going to bridge the gap. We're going to have to look right, talk right, act right. Again, revival is a way of life. How we act, look, and talk, it often determines the level of revival we will have. You know, folks just, they see how we live and how we act. And then if we go up to them and say, hey, we're having something special going on at our church. Not long ago, we did that. We took some flyers around to the community. We handed them out. We talked to people. And we said, hey, come. We want to give you a dinner. We want you to come to our church and just have dinner with us. It's not... Hey, we're not even going in the sanctuary. We're going to be over in Annex. And we passed, 100 flyers out was that? We split them up. And I don't know how many people did we get that first time? With the rain and cold. It was, about 30 people? Maybe a few more, maybe a few less. I don't know. But there was, we passed these flyers out. We wanted people to come and be a part. Had these people, I don't know how many of them saw us beforehand and knew us and watched our lives. But I talked to some that I had never talked to before. I even had a man tell me, so where are you going next? And I said, I'm going right up yonder. There's a feller out there. He's playing dominoes in his yard with a couple others. And then I'm going over across the street from there and talk to these guys that's out there working on the car. He said, I'll tell you what, I know my neighborhood. He said, you go over there and you walk softly. You talk to them people with them dominoes. You give them one of these flyers, but you walk up easy. And be careful. But don't you dare go across the street and talk to them people with that car. Say, I'm telling you right now, Mr. Fry, do not put your feet over there. I said, well, you know the neighborhood. I'm going to listen to you. And I did. Woo. And I'm glad I did. The man knew what he was talking about. But I'm going to tell you, everywhere we passed out a flyer, we got to meet people, talk to people. And now they see us. When they see us at Walmart, they greet us. And they with a smile. And I had people, or somebody tell me just the other day, said, I'm going to be coming. I'm going to surprise you one of these days. I'm going to come to the church where you go. I'm going to be coming. I'm going to surprise you. I said, well, come on. Met somebody last night. I was standing at the cash register trying to get out of Walmart late last night. And I kept hearing, Mr. Fry, Brother Fry, Mr. Fry, Brother Fry. And I'm not paying attention. But I heard that about four times. Finally, a fella comes up and stands in front of me. Hey. Oh, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Another one comes walking up and gives me a hug. Hey, it's good to see you. How you doing? They know us and they see us out there. Even when we don't see them, they see the things we do and how we act. Revival is a way of life. James 1 and 20 tells us, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anyone seeing us getting in an argument with or treating badly an employee of any establishment in this town will never be a part of any revival we have. See, feathers cast in the wind can't be recovered. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You just can't pick them all up. You go out there in 15-mile-an-hour wind, take a pillow full of feathers and shake them up, and immediately start picking them up. You're going to get a few, but most of them's going to get away. So what we do, how we act, how we look, how we dress, people are going to notice that. They're going to know who we are. And then when we go to say, hey, won't you come to church with me? They go, I don't know about that. I saw you the other day, and you know, that just didn't look right. People will know where to go or not to go. James 1:22 said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. Praying for revival will build faith. Praying for revival will build faith. But faith without works is dead. James 2:20 said, but without no obeying man, that faith without works is dead. You know, James, James 2. Now let's go to James 2. I want to read something to you here. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and if you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. We got to put feet on our prayers. Let's put some feet on it. We can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray for revival. But until we go out and touch those that are lost, until we go out and see those that are lost, until we go out and compel those that are lost, we won't have revival. Because faith without works is dead. Jesus said in John 13, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You know, he also said, the servant is not greater than the master. You believe that? You believe the servant is not greater than the master? Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master. And in verse 17, he said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do. If you know, that bridge in the gap. Take what you know. Build a bridge right in between what you know and what you do. Sometimes we just don't do what we know. We know to do certain things, but we don't do them. Oh, we don't do what we ought to do. We get to think, man, I ought to just get dressed and go to church tonight. You know, I might just go to prayer meeting tonight. I really need to go. I'm not doing anything. Oh, wait a minute. So it's a good TV show coming on. The Rangers are playing tonight. I got to say, I can't go this Tuesday. Maybe next Tuesday the Rangers won't be playing. Boy, they're going to be playing next Tuesday, too. I know. They take Mondays off. It's Tuesday. They'll be playing every Tuesday. So if you're going to miss because of the Rangers, you'll never be here. Come on. Come on Tuesday. Woo! Bridge the gap between what you know and what you do. A warrior or an athlete. They train constantly. They train every day so that they can hone their skills. Now we're warriors. We're warriors right here. We're warriors every day, and we can continue to train, or we can just let it go. But we're warriors every single day. And the only way we can get our skills right is reading the Word and prayer. Some people say fasting, but Brother Jimmy ain't going to talk to you about fasting today. Take one look at Brother Fry and say, Brother Fry, don't you talk to me about fasting. It's just that. If I'm a bank robber, I can't talk to you about being a thief, can I? Could I just rob the bank? I was told one time, said, don't a fat man never teach on fasting. I'm not going to teach on fasting. I'm going to say nothing about fasting today. But we got to bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. We got to hone our skills every day. And that's what we got to do. We got to train daily. We're in this race to win souls. And when we bridge the gap between what we know and what we do, we're going to have revival. Where's Sister Hartwell? Hey, come on up here. We got to bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. We can't let ourselves forget what's needful, what we need to do. We can't let ourselves forget why we're here. If we're not here to win souls, why do we come to church? Why do we come? I mean, we weren't just saved out of something. We were saved into something. We were saved here to do something. We are here to have revival every single day. We got to have it. If I don't hone my skill, I will never be the warrior that God expects me to be. You know, when I lived in the world, I honed my skill. When I was doing things I hadn't ought to do, I did them well. I got tired of every day. It seemed like an endless quest, going and looking every single day for the drugs that I needed to feed me. Every single day. I could set that spoon and that needle down and it wasn't enough. I'd have to go find more every single day. No matter how much I did, it wasn't enough. So I would go looking, and I got tired of looking. So I got somebody to teach me how to cook, how to make it, how to do my own. I honed those skills because I had a purpose. My purpose was to constantly push that stuff into my veins. I lived for that. I didn't start out to be that way. It wasn't that way at all when it started. I had a wife and children that loved me. They went through some things, Mike. I don't know why they're still stayed with me. But when I came into this, I made up my mind. I would hone my skills the same way. If it takes prayer to be able to reach those that need to be reached. If it's my job to reach the lost, then I'm going to reach them. If I'm required to spend time in prayer, become the warrior that I'm supposed to be. If it takes prayer to bridge the gap, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bridge the gap. I want to be able to say, I do what I know to do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Bridge the gap today, folks. We can start right now, today. Right now, we can bridge the gap today. Let's all stand. We can bridge the gap today. There's a lot of us in here right now that know to do different than we are. And I'm not saying anybody in here is bad. I'm not saying anything about that at all. I don't want it to sound like that. That's not what I'm trying to make it sound like. No, no. By all means. There's things we know that sometimes we're a little lax in doing. I know we are. None of us are perfect and none of us ever will be until that day that we're made perfect in Christ. Well, it is time for us to bridge the gap between what we know and what we do. And we can start right here, right now, at this altar tonight. Let's bridge the gap. Won't you think about it? Won't you come forward and just give the Lord an opportunity to show you what you got to do to make the difference, Brother Hart.
Praise the Lord. Would you come? Let's pray and seek the Lord.